Welcome to Devotional Bible Study. Our text for today is taken from Psalm chapter 27. Psalm 27 verse 13. I shall read, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Previously in verse 12, we observed David's final petition for God's protection against his bloodthirsty adversaries who were breathing out cruelty constantly against him. We saw how fragile our human nature is, so easily crushed by the load of life's troubles. Truly, we would have given up, we would have passed out, we would have failed, except God had been our sustenance and strength. And so we shall now go into this text in verse 13 and next week in verse 14, where in both verses David is encouraging us to wait upon the Lord. So the verse begins, I had fainted. These words are supplied by our translators who are trying to make the sense of the Hebrew words complete. They were trying to show that David's faculty would have perished from the pressure of his enemies, except he had believed upon the Lord's goodness. Yet we find that it seems unnecessary to furnish an explanation for David's desperate condition, since the abrupt lack of words which David supplies here is self-declarative of his current situation. The readers themselves may be able to infer what the thoughts of David are. And so Hammond says, in the Hebrew there is an aposiopesis, a figure of elegance, purposely breaking off in the midst of the speech. Yet, so as every man can foresee, what kind of conclusion should follow if he did not purposely divert to the contrary? Thus, it is plainly clear that we should let the text speak for itself. So it says, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The word believed means to build up and establish. It shows the support of a pillar in 2 Kings and the nurture of a nurse in 2 Samuel. Or it was used even to show a nail that finds a solid place to grip. When you strike a nail into a rock. Isaiah 22 verse 23. So we see that the word believed shows faith. It is a strong pillar of support. It is a loving nurse which nourishes its young child. It is a firm foundation upon which we may place a strong footing. Faith or believing is the soul's hope which keeps God's saints from engulfing themselves in the flames of anguish and gloom. So David would have fainted, he would have been in distress, except he had believed that the Lord would be his strength and support. Matthew Henry says, even the best saints are subject to faint when their troubles become grievous and tedious. Their spirits are overwhelmed, and their flesh and heart fail. But then, faith is a sovereign cordial. It keeps them from despairing of relief, keeps them hoping and praying and waiting, and keeps up in them good thoughts of God. Oh, how great is the importance of faith fixed upon the Sovereign One. Those who cry down faith, cry down their own comfort. and assurance. It is a sudden case when we find ourselves in, when we can only trust that which we can see and not what we cannot see. When we rely too much upon our physical senses and not upon our spiritual senses. When we trust in natural occurrences but not in the God of nature who controls them. Come, Christian, let us turn from trusting in vanity, trusting in this world, to trust in the sovereign, almighty God. Turn from looking at your present condition to God's perspective. How does God look at things? Turn from the chariots, trusting in the chariots of Egypt, to trusting in the living God. As Spurgeon says, we must believe to see, not see to believe. We must wait the appointed time and stay our soul's hunger with foretaste of the Lord's eternal goodness, which shall soon be our feast and our song. Times of trial are times for the saint to wait patiently upon his God. Thus we must say with David, when God had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies in Psalm 18, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. So we see that we are not to look at the physical, but the spiritual. Wait upon the Lord. Those who put their trust in the Lord will find a sure and satisfactory comfort in the day of trouble. Lean not on your own understanding and might, but upon God's understanding and might. The next portion of the verse, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord. This goodness of the Lord is always coupled with the mercy of the Lord. Because goodness is mercy put into action. But there are those atheists and skeptics who say God is not good because there is so much trouble in this life. But we find that that is not Scripture's line of reasoning. The world being full of trouble is not the effect of God not being good. Instead, the Scripture itself affirms the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The whole earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And even a whole psalm, namely Psalm 107, is dedicated to show the goodness of the Lord. And in the psalm, we see in verse 6, the Lord delivering his people. In verse 7, his leading of his people. In verse 9, of his satisfying of their longing soul. In verse 10 to 13, to bring those who sat in darkness into the light. Yea, even it is said that when the fool would repent, when the fool, even those who draw near to the gates of death, who destroy their own bodies with wanton lust and sensual pleasures, when they repent and turn to the Lord, he doesn't say, go to hell and get the punishment you deserve. But he saveth them out of their distresses. Verse 17 to 19. It is also said that he controls the storm and the waves and will bring his children safely to the shore. Verse 23 to 30. So you see that the Christian faith is not a blind faith. He's not trusting in something that he is unsure of. The goodness of the Lord is something that can be seen with the physical eye of providence. Though we may not see the Lord of goodness, though we may not see God physically, yet we may see the Lord of goodness in his constant providence over our lives. Though in this life we see not God, yet we may see him by his works. And so David Clarkson says, God's all-sufficiency and power make him able. His goodness makes him willing to do for his people under the cross what his all-sufficiency and almighty power can afford. His goodness sets his mighty power at work for his suffering saints. So we see that the goodness of the Lord is his willingness to help his saints. The goodness of the Lord is that which moves the arm of omnipotent power to the aid of God's saints, so that our faith is held strong in a strong God. If God were but able, but not willing, we should be of all men most miserable. But if God is willing and unable, then God would not be God. He would just be a helpful person who cannot help. But we know that our God is both willing and able to help. What a bulwark of affirmation and courage this should set upon our hearts. Believe on the goodness of the Lord. And finally, the last portion of verse 13, in the land of the living, David wanted to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The words in the land of the living do not mean the mean heaven, which some commentators say, but it means the earth. Because in Isaiah 38 verse 11, Hezekiah used this phrase by saying, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. Then he reiterates the sentence, I shall behold men no more with the inhabitants of the world. And another passage in Isaiah 53, verse 8, was said that Christ was cut off from the land of the living. The Messiah was cut off from the land of the living. So that the land of the living is not referring to heaven, but earth. And so what comfort we can draw from this is that the goodness of the Lord is not something that is just seen in heaven alone. It is not only seen in the heavenly Canaan, but also in the land of the living upon the earth. And so those who attribute their best life to this earthly, fleeting dream of this world are utterly foolish. But those who complain that this life is only filled with misery have forgotten how they are daily crowned with mercies from the throne of God. Every day is mercy given to God's saints. The breath we take, the life we are given, the food we eat, the sustenance of our senses and our faculty that we may be able to function, to read His Word, to enjoy God. That is the daily mercies of the Lord. It is said by Christ Himself in Matthew that the sun rising up, or even the wicked to have harvest, a harvest of plenty, those are mercies of the Lord. So we must not forget that we are daily crowned with mercies. The rain from above, the harvest of the fields, the sustenance of our life is a stamp of constant grace and mercy upon us. Shall God provide us with a heavenly inheritance, and shall He not also provide for us an earthly inheritance, mainly earthly sustenance? Oh, that the saints may hope in the Lord, who has promised to work all things for good to those who love Him, yea, even in this life. Though it may not be with abundance, yet He has promised His goodness and sustenance daily. Though we may face persecution, yet He has promised to keep our souls. The goodness of God makes all things sweet, whether in affliction, in life, in death, even in the most hellish of pains. Yet God's goodness brings us into the pleasant land of Beulah with his greatest affections. So we shall close with this Psalm of David, Psalm 31, verse 19 to 20 and 23 to 24. Oh, how great is thy goodness! Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. And verse 23, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer, meaning he gives proper judgment to the proud. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your hearts, all ye that hope in the Lord. Amen.